Well, good morning, church. For those who don't know me, my name is Liz, and I am one of the ministers here at St. Hilary's. Let me pray as we come to God's word this Good Friday morning. Father, thank you for this day, for this opportunity to gather in your name. Lord, as we reflect on the story of the moments leading up to your death on the cross this morning, may you guide our hearts and minds to the places where you can be at most at work in us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was 21, I went on a road trip across the United States with a couple of friends. Come Good Friday, we found ourselves in Oklahoma, often considered the buckle of the Bible Belt, and were shocked to find that not only was it not a public holiday, but that even finding somewhere to go to church was a hard feat. To someone who had grown up knowing so much about America being a Christian country, it was completely surprising to me. A quick disclaimer there, Google tells me that 12 US states do in fact have a public holiday for Good Friday, but Oklahoma is not one of them. But we eventually found ourselves at a Catholic Mass. But the thing that I most remember about that day, being in a city that is so defining of itself by Christian values, was driving past schools and places of business, and everyone was just going about their day. It was in stark contrast to growing up in Australia, where in fact Good Friday is still considered a restricted trading day, which means that most stores are not even allowed legally to open. And as I reflected on what God might be calling me to share with us this Good Friday, this story came back to my mind. Because friends, we are here on this public holiday, which is granted to us in order to commemorate Jesus' death on the cross. In many places around the world, Christians are persecuted for even attempting to attend a church gathering. And here in a country where there is so much separation of church and state, we are blessed to be given a paid day off work to gather together in the name of Jesus. But why would they choose this day? Why Good Friday? Let's remind ourselves first of the significance of this day to our faith. The term Good Friday actually has no clear history of how it came to be called that, did you know? It's generally assumed that good refers to the fact that is a good day for humanity, that Jesus' death brought about that ultimate sacrifice for us. But it's easy as we hear the Passion narrative read so beautifully to wonder what is good about it. To hear of Jesus being mocked, stripped, whipped, tied to a cross. It's a painful story to hear. And as anyone who has seen a visual representation of can attest, it's a hard thing to watch. And yet here we are proclaiming it a Good Friday. Funnily enough, in Mark 10, we actually see Jesus rebuke someone who refers to him as good. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." But perhaps there is a hint in there for us as to why we should declare this day good. For this is the weekend from which we know Jesus to be God himself. the resurrection, which we will celebrate on Sunday and we celebrate every day, declares this to be true. The one raised from the grave, that is the good news, the gospel. Friends, we have this good news of Jesus on the cross, but what are we going to do with it? The part of the narrative that was read to us that stuck in my mind as I've prepared over the last few weeks was actually the first part read, the story of Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Luke tells us that, as usual, Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives to pray. Well, how else do you think Judas knew they were going to be there? This was a custom of his, to step aside for prayer. The disciples come with him. And before he steps away for his own space, he says to them, "Pray that you don't fall into temptation." Upon returning to his disciples, he finds them asleep, and his last words to them as a group, as Jesus, as Judas and the crowd appear, is, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." We often assume that Jesus is talking purely about their falling asleep, but what if it is more than that? What if it also relates back to the parable that he has previously told about the 10 virgins, where not all are ready for the arrival of the bridegroom after falling asleep? What if it relates back to the Lord's Prayer, where we pray that we would not be led into temptation? What if these final words to Jesus' disciples are all about keeping their eyes on God the Father? For those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we must remind ourselves that our acceptance of him as Lord is just the first part. But we must seek to follow him in all that we do, to live lives that seek to bring him honor and glory. We must pray that we do not fall into temptation. Jesus' death doesn't just free us from sin and death. It does that, yes, but it also frees us from the need to be slave to the forces and the powers of this world. Jesus' death on the cross allows us a true freedom. The early days of the church, Christians were seen as countercultural for the way that they cared for the lowly and for the way that they lived that was different to the rest of what was going on, putting one another first. But what does it mean to look countercultural today? Many think that it has to do with taking a stand on morality, and it may be that, but what if it was about approaching the whole of life differently? Not being caught up in material capitalistic pursuits, and instead allowing ourselves space to truly be with our families, to be with our God, to be with his people. To turn our eyes away from the pursuits of this world and to turn our eyes towards Jesus. Friends, sin at its most basic level, that thing which Jesus' death on the cross frees us from, is that which turns us away from God. I encourage you to search your hearts today. What is turning you away from God? Good Friday is a day of reflection. Reflection on the beauty of God allowing himself to die on a cross as the ultimate sacrifice for us. As we reflect on the depth of the wonder of that truth this morning, and we'll do so through a practical activity in a moment, and we'll sing songs about this truth, May we also take space to reflect on the things that we personally need to lay at the foot of the cross. What is it that you need to pray that you don't fall into temptation?